and even forever. This is the letter, and now comes the living of it. Let us pray. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, help us to reach out in our lives and see the great principles of life. Help us to see the work and worth of the Apostle Paul, who stands at the center of our faith as one of the most noble Christians, and who stands as a challenge to us in all ages and in all generations. Help us to realize at all times the relevance of the gospel in every nation and in every community. In the name and spirit of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour. Tune in each Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., and join us as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Are listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 NW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Verses 1 through 7. There you will find these words. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Amen. The New Living Translation reads this way, and I'm just going to read a few of the verses from the New Living Translation. But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Thank you so much. I have discovered the older I get and the longer I live that I'm no longer a big fan of television. It may seem strange to admit that in an age of cable, digital, satellite, high definition, plasma, LCD, television, in an age of big screen, widescreen, screen in screen, it is very interesting that I cannot find much on the small screen that captures and holds my attention. Don't get me wrong, there are still some shows on TV like the Whitney Houston funeral. I couldn't sit and watch it, but thank God for DVR. Amen. There are a few shows that draw me in, causing me to set the DVR, fight off sleep, and watch until the credits roll. However, more and more, I find myself uninterested by television's daily scheduled events. But I have discovered that I'm a big lover of television commercials. I'm fascinated by the advertising industry's 30-second to 90-second assault upon my food, fashion, financial, and fun habits. I actually love exploring the creative genius of marketing executives as they attempt to tap into the spending, buying, and consuming habits of the average American. My favorite commercials of late are car commercials. The more I watch these car commercials and got into car commercials, I noticed that there's a similar pattern to all car commercials. Each car commercial will usually display the car with its many features and then close the commercial with a tag. The tag is that memorable line that the sellers of the car want you to remember. It's the hook that they hope will make you choose their car over all of the other models that are out there. Amen. It's the one thing that they want to stick in your head when you're actually looking to buy a car. Y'all may be familiar with some of the tags: Mazda, Zoom, 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 Volkswagen, drivers want it. I like there's a new Volkswagen commercial that I really like. It shows this young boy, he's buying a bicycle. Some of you may have seen it. And he asked the guy selling it, is it fast? And the guy says, it's a 10-speed, isn't it? Then he gets a little older and he's buying a motorcycle. And again, he asks, is it fast? The guy selling it says, it has a lightning bolt on it, doesn't it? Y'all have seen that one? He gets a little older and he's buying what I presume is his first car, and he asks, is it fast? And the owner says, I'm not even sure if it's street legal. But then finally, he's a lot older, and he's looking at this Volkswagen, and as he stands up, you notice that he has a baby on his chest, and this time he doesn't ask if it's fast. He asks if it's safe. I like that commercial. I like that commercial. Amen. I like that. But then there are the others. There's Hyundai, amen, drive your way. Chrysler, inspiration comes standard. Cadillac, breakthrough. Buick, dream on, dream until your dreams come true. Lexus, the passionate pursuit of perfection. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. I noticed that Mercedes-Benz and Jaguar, they don't really have tags. I guess they say the name of the vehicle speaks for itself. However, my favorite tag of all, and the one I want to use for this sermon, is from Ford. Y'all know Ford, don't you? Amen. Ford says that their cars are built for the road ahead. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to borrow that tag from Ford and tag this sermon with the title, Built for the Road Ahead. Ford believes that they have designed an automobile that can handle the road, any road that is out there. Amen. Ford claims that they have built a car that can handle it, the expected, the unexpected, the planned, the unplanned, the wanted and the unwanted, the seen and the unseen. Ford says, bring it on. Now, I know that for a long time, several years ago, amen, people made fun of my Ford, amen. Ford, they had an acrostic, fix or repair, huh? Daily. Yeah, y'all remember that. I love the Ford Expedition. That's what I drive, and I'm happy to say that Ford has proved itself true to me. Oh, yes, Lord. As a matter of fact, when the other American auto dealers were bordering on the verge of bankruptcy, Ford was the only U.S. automaker that told the government thanks, but no thanks. We don't need a handout. We don't need a bailout. Amen. I'm talking about all y'all out there driving your Chryslers and your, amen, GM and all that. They were at the government store saying, help us, help us. But Ford said, we don't need your money. Amen. So y'all quit saying bad things about Ford. Ford. So Ford's tag is built for the road ahead. In making such a claim, Ford is saying that what they put into their cars, the material they use, the aerodynamic configuration of their models are engineered in such a way to take the pressure of today's driving conditions. Further, Ford is saying that they expect their cars to be driven. That is, they want their cars to go somewhere. But more than that, they believe that no matter where their cars go, on a dirt road or four-lane highway, they expect their cars to be able to perform on the journey. And I want to sermonically suggest this morning, especially to our young people, that in this text, God is making the same claim about each and every one of you and all of us. Tell your neighbor, we are built for the road ahead. That is, my brothers and sisters, we are uniquely created, shaped, and designed to handle anything that we will face in this life. That is, from head to toe, front to back, through and through, you and I, amen, have and are being equipped with everything we need to make it in this life. When Israel found itself transitioning from one place to another, from one people to another, from one paradigm to another, they were reminded in the closing verses of the 42nd chapter of Isaiah just how difficult their journey had been. Now, in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, they hear this salvation oracle from God promising them an unusual alliance as they move forward into their future. This text is a word of promise and assurance for all of us who are about to move out into God's planned future for us. This text is a word of assurance. Look again at what the text says. They are not to be afraid, for God had ransomed them. That is, God, the creator of everything, is he that has intervened on their behalf, on behalf of this exiled people. God says, in essence, I've got your back. Is there anybody here this morning who is happy? You're encouraged. You are, amen, rejoicing because you know that in spite of what you may face in this life, what you may go through in this life, you can have joy in the midst of your circumstances because you are well aware of this fact. God has got my back. God says, I've called you by name. God had identified them as his own and entered into a non-negotiable agreement to be with them in every possible circumstance. Look at what he says. When you go through deep waters, when you go through great trouble, I'll be there. When you go through rivers of difficulty, God says, I'll be your lifeguard. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be singed, you will not be scorched. As a matter of fact, you won't even smell like smoke. Why? Because God is with them. God has promised to help them maneuver the rough terrain of the journey that is ahead of them. The Exodus is behind them. The Red Sea experience is behind them. Now they have a new beginning. Amen. They are moving forward into a new relationship and a new future with God and the world. As we gather here on this Iannual Youth Day, many of us adults have our own individual and collective stories of life and living. As a matter of fact, we're filled with the cumulative emotions of our own exiled conditions. Whether you came from Mississippi or Alabama, whether you moved from Minnesota or Memphis, whether you came by train, bus, or plane, you all have a story to tell about the rigorous experience of life and living. Tell your neighbor, I've got some experiences behind me. There are some things, amen, yes, there are some things that you're facing right now. Make no mistake about it, there's a new world out there. And I need to tell you that the church, amen, has even become new in a lot of ways. It is a postmodern church. Can I get a witness? It's a church in the world and in a lot of ways of the world. It's a church, amen, we're high tech. We have multimedia. We're a global church. It's the church of the iPod and the MP3 and the PDA and crack. I mean the smartphone. It is a church that can be local and global at the same time because of streaming internet. Thank God we're streaming right now all over the world. Anybody in any part of the world that has access to the World Wide Web can tune in and watch Pleasant Hills young people get on their praise and show their gifts and display their talents. But most importantly, they can hear the word of God. Oh, y'all, it's a new age. It's a new age. And I'm determined. I'm always telling us that we've got to go forward with God. I know sometimes we want to stay in the old tradition. We want to sing the old songs. We want to do stuff the way we used to do it. But if we're going to reach these young people, if we're going to get them excited about God and the things of God, then we've got to wake up to the reality that we are living in a postmodern world. It's a church that is multicultural. It's a church that is multiracial and multigenerational. It is a church of personal piety and prophetic witness. It is a church of holy hip-hop. Y'all saw the young lady? Amen. And like I said earlier, some of y'all were sitting there having to hold back. Amen. Because club was coming out. And you had to remember, I can't drop it like it's hot up here. Not in the church. And I was looking at some of y'all. I know you can drop it and Dougie it and whatever else they're doing. I never could dance, so I didn't even know the names of the dancers. But we've got to present the young people. See, the one thing that doesn't change, tell your neighbor, the word don't change. But the methodology has to keep up with the time and the generation in which we live. Y'all know I love those old hymns, Amazing Grace and all that good stuff. Amen, stuff that brought mama over and dad, and we get excited about those. But these young folk, amen, they are from a different paradigm. They're from a different reality. And if we want to keep them in the house of God, worshiping and praising him, we've got to realize that we live in a postmodern reality. It's no longer the church of funeral home fans. I was looking for one a minute ago. We don't have funeral home fans anymore. We got ceiling fans, and they ain't going fast enough. No longer the church of one husband, one wife, and 2.5 children. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Amen. It's a new day. It's the church of the praise team and the hymn book. It's the church of the prayer meeting and the support group. It's the church with men and women in ministry. It's the church of not only black and white together, but also Latino and Pacific Islander together. It is the church of the shout and the silence. It is the local church, the rural church, the community church, and the mega church. But here's what matters. We're all working together to save souls, to defeat Satan, and to do justice. It's a different day. We now live in a world where terrorists are daily trying to take over. Say, there was a man up at the Capitol, strapped up, amen. He thought he had a real bomb on. He was going to blow some of them fellas up there. And I better not say that. Oh, God. But we live in a new reality. 911, amen, is no longer just an emergency number that you call. Can I get a witness today? We live in a new world. We've got a black president in the White House. We have a do-nothing Congress, a non-supreme Supreme Court, bullet-ridden streets, gang-infested schools, unhappy homes, inadequate health care. We live in a world where levees break and expose the issues of poverty and race in this nation. We live in a world with gay marriage. Somebody asked me, Rev, will you marry a gay couple? I said, well, I might. It's a gay man and a gay woman. But I ain't marrying no two men. And I ain't marrying no two women. Oh, God. Let me leave that alone. But I stopped by this morning on my way to heaven to remind you of the words of this text. Somebody ought to get excited right about here. God says when you go through deep waters and great trouble, God will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, young people, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. All that you have experienced and will experience in the world, in your life, in the church, is designed, young people, to get you ready for the road ahead. Every situation that you have to deal with in your personal experience is but a microcosm of the road ahead. That's why this text uses the word when. Because struggle in this life, tell your neighbor, it's inevitable. You heard me say earlier, you cute, yeah, you look real good. But that ain't gonna exempt you from trouble. I know, amen, you make good money, you got a nice bank account, and all of that, but your money is not going to exempt you from heartache. Can I get a witness here today? I don't know how many of you watched the funeral of Whitney Houston yesterday, but I was able to listen to it on my satellite radio as I was traveling from New Orleans to Baton Rouge to Natchez and on to Leesville. It was on the whole time. But there were folk with plenty of money with tears rolling down their face. There were folk who have won Grammys and all kinds of awards, but they were weeping and they were mourning, and that's why the text says when. Because struggle is inevitable. And I wanted to make sure, I tell you, I looked at different translations, and every translation that I read, every translation that I studied of this passage used the word when. Not if, tell your neighbor, not if, but when. In so doing, it suggested to me the inevitability of hard times and rough places and difficult situations in life when you come. Not if you come to a hard place. When you face, not if you face a tremendous challenge. When it gets too hard for you, not if it gets too hard for you. But the good news in the text is that God will be with you. God will be with you. God will be with you. I don't want to disrupt your pretty presuppositions of what it means to be a Christian in this world, but too many of us have got it wrong. We have too many sermons and too many songs with bad theology and bad religion, but Reverend Garner's just got to keep it real. I got to keep it real. I got to keep it real. Being a Christian is not all about what we can get from God. Oh, but you better learn how to look beyond what you get from God and be thankful today for what God has done for us. As you go through this life, there are going to be ups and downs, joys and sorrows. That's just the way of the world. But let me tell you the real deal. Amen. You're going to be, young people, you're going to be locked out. You're going to be talked about. You're going to get cursed out. I'm pastor. I've been cursed out in the church. Amen. Ooh, but thank God for the Holy Ghost that I didn't cuss back. Saved as I is. HBO messed me up. Because I picked up some words along the way. Tell your neighbor, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I don't know how much of your experiences you will remember, but you need to remember this. God will be with you. every step of the way. And God is going with you into the future, young people. Talking about a new beginning. God is directing your journey. God is ordering your steps. God is charting the course that you're going to take. And when you come to moments of uncertainty and doubt, I've come by to remind you that God will be there. When people are mean and difficult, tell your neighbor, God will be there. God will lift you when you're down. God will comfort you at midnight. God will make a way through the wilderness. God will fight every one of your battles. When I first started pastoring, me and Reverend Dawson were talking about it earlier. It's been 20 years. Whew. Pastor don't look like all I've been through. Reverend Dawson don't look like all he's been through. Some of y'all sitting out there don't look like all you've been through. And you ought to give God praise for that. But when I started out pastoring, I used to talk about what I read, what I heard. Y'all remember, I used to talk about what Reverend Harrison said. Oh, but about 5 years into it, I moved from talking about what I heard to what I believe. Amen. But 20 years into this thing, I don't have to tell you about what I heard. I don't have to tell you about what I believe. I can stand flat-footed and tell you about what I know. Can I get a witness here this morning? I know God will open doors for you. I know God will make your enemies leave you alone. I know God will take you further in life than you ever hoped or dreamed. As you look at the journey ahead, there will be some difficult days. Gonna be some mean rascals out there. Gonna be some hard places. And young folk, you may as well get ready. Amen, amen. You may get that first job at McDonald's or Popeye's or wherever it is, and you're gonna run into some managers that will cuss you out. But don't quit. Amen. You may be on the basketball team, or you may be on the football team, or you may be a cheerleader, and you're going to run, amen, into some people who are not going to encourage you. You're going to, amen, run into some folk who are going to talk about you and mistreat you. But don't let what they think about you cause you to give up. Don't let what folks say about you cause you to quit and throw in the towel, because the good news from the text is that God will be with you. I need to tell you something else, young people. You won't always be able to just blame other folk either. Can I get a witness in here? Come on, old heads. You know every mistake you made wasn't somebody else's fault. You know every sin you committed wasn't somebody else's fault. You know every lie you told wasn't somebody else's fault. And some stuff we can't even blame on the devil. Y'all know how we like to say the devil made me do it. No, baby, the devil ain't had nothing to do with it. You'd do better to blame Luther or Freddie Jackson, amen, for that slip up. But don't put it on the devil. You did it because you wanted to do it. So you've got to be honest. I said you've got to be honest. You've got to be. I told you on last Sunday how important it is that you know who you are. See, because young people, when you know who you are, young ladies, some slick rascal can't come along and speak some words in your ear and cause you to do what God says you ought not do. Young men, amen, amen. She's fine as wine and all of that. But when you know who you are and whose you are, you know that everything that looks good ain't for your good. And you better learn how to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Is there anybody who can look back on your life and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I would not have made it. I wouldn't be here today. You got to be real about who you are. Amen. You've got to be real. You've got to admit that there were some days when you could have done better. You got to be willing to admit that there were some times when you were not at your best. You've got to be willing to admit that there were some days when you slacked off, you took off, you goofed off. Young people, you've got to be honest with yourself. And what I was trying to tell you last Sunday, I was trying to get you to be introspective. to look inwardly at who you are. You, amen. You also ought to keep a good record of where you are.